to the Carly Pilk Boys podcast. We're having a nice chat about the old Ricky Gervais XFM shows, obviously. I'm David Ferrier.
Steve Merchant.
We're little Australian radio fellas. I've been a mad fan of these shows forever. This is Zach's first time listening through week by week, one by one. Zach, it's an exciting day. I just want to get straight into. I have the copy of Heat magazine.
Woohoo!
It arrived in the post. It only cost me about $50 Australian, so bargain.
This is the magazine you bought online hoping that Carl Pilkington would be featured in it. This is 6 months after the feature that they refer to in on the radio show, but you're hoping that you just get lucky and that says something about the show or about Carl Pilkington. What I can see straight away as you hold the magazine up is that on the back, it has an ad for Jaffa Cakes.
It sure
which
does.
Was mentioned in the episode the other day where Carl thinks that they have cancer-curing properties. So it that's a good sign, in my opinion.
I think it's a sign that we're on the right tracks. Yeah, the ad is for how to conceal your precious Jaffa Cakes.
Does it mention anything in the ad about cancer-curing properties?
Here we go. If you find a lump, administer 2 Jaffa Cakes a day until the packet is empty. Let's go through the Heat magazine soon. I'll just get through this that we are talking
about.
Can I
ask, though, have you flicked through it yet, or will this be fresh?
Can you see these bookmarks?
Oh, it's marked up. It's marked up.
We're talking about Series 1, Episode 17 today, a.k.a. Carl's Round Head, broadcast the 24th of March, 2002. Overall thoughts, Zach. Now, remember, last week we worked out the overall thoughts ideally should be a reference to something specific in the episode.
Yep.
And then using that to make a broader comment about the show, Ricky, Steve, or Carl in general. So, okay. Take it away.
Oh, wow. Well, the specific moment that I thought was a highlight for me was the morals. The fables and the morals they got from them. And here's the idea I had while I was listening to it, because they make a reference to a story Carl tells earlier about his trainers and they turn it into a fable. And I thought, there's a potential for a book. What do you think about fables of the stories that... So take the stories that Carl has told on the show, adjust them a little bit so they might rhyme or they might, have the right cadence of a fable. And then we make a picture book based on that. But see, you're an illustrator, so I feel like you're the right person to pitch this at because you know the ins and outs of this industry.
So let me see if I understand what you're pitching.
Yeah.
It's classic fables.
No. It's in the style of classic fables, but they're Carl Pilkington stories. So maybe there's one about taking a tank down to the shops and how that can derail your military career. Maybe there's one about protecting... What's more important, protecting your trainers or protecting your employment?
How to react when you step on your girlfriend's dress at a disco.
Yeah.
What it means to have the friendship of a magpie who then starts... pecking at your head.
I feel that one wouldn't need much finessing, would it? That one's basically a fable already. There's often like a friendly animal that has human attributes.
Be careful of the friends you keep. I like that idea. I'm going to note it down in my big ideas for the Carly Pilk Boys document.
I think put that next to, remember we were going to do bootleg shirts for Carly Pilkey's Making Music.
I've been noting down some other t-shirt ideas. Yeah, so the Pilkey's Making Music tour t-shirt with dates, great idea. I have also thought you have pictures of all of the historical figures that Carl had to learn about. So you got Rasputin, Hitler, Winston Churchill. And then Carl Pilkington's head with the quote, why do you keep giving me this heavy shit?
That's good. There could also be some sort of reference, so we have Rasputin, Churchill and Hitler and some type of reference to what Rasputin's doing there. Because it seems like that's his big sticking point, is that he's the one that stands out.
Or one that seems obvious, and I'm almost tempted to Google to see if it's already been done, Carl Pilkington as Che Guevara.
Oh, that's good.
That iconic image.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll look into that after we record. But where were we up to? So yeah, the opening thoughts. Well, here's my overall thought. As Ricky points out the roundness of his head, I'd like to point out the well-roundedness of this show.
This is becoming the... I feel like overall thoughts now is getting pressured into almost like a limerick or some type of metaphor where we have to take something from the show and make an overall comment. Is that what you're referring to earlier?
Yeah, like a quote that would look good on the back of a book.
Okay, I understand now. So I'll prepare one for next time.
Okay. Or even...
Because I think last time you spoke about how he was... you know, the balloon was raising him high in the air and so to this show towards his career.
Yeah.
So, okay, I get it.
Using a detail from the show to create a metaphor about the broader sense of the show. That can be about Ricky, Steve or Carl or about their careers or about the XFM shows in general. But look, if you want to create a fable for the overall thoughts... Okay. I don't know how that would work, but I'd just like to throw that idea out there.
Because I'm reading a few... This one spoke to me a little bit because I've been reading a few, you know, kids' books to my baby, which I don't think she's really taking in, but apparently it's good for them. Like, she's just, like, crawling around and I'm just, like, getting louder and louder trying to get her attention. And, you know, a lot of people criticize kids' books as being easy to write, and I'm sure there are a lot out there that are rubbish, but I was thinking this while I was reading one yesterday, and, slowly started to get me, and by the end I was like, that was really good. Wow. They put a lot in a short period of time. Have you seen Diary of a Wombat?
Have I seen it?
Why would you have read that?
I have not.
It's like this Diary of a Wombat, which is an Australian native animal, and at the start I'm like, this is so dumb, I could have written this, and then like by the end of it I was like, the subtleties they put in that. And kind of like the little just subtle the heartwarming moments. I'm like, that was really good.
So you got really absorbed by this kids did. Book. And meanwhile, your baby has walked outside and is playing with
She was chewing on another one.
So. Two meter long python outside.
She has an appetite for literature.
I love the idea of you and your baby reading a kid's book and you're the one who's going, oh my God.
Well, she's just stuff.
Sucking on your keys or, playing with the giant python that's come back to visit.
So anyway, this episode was quite in my headspace that I was currently in.
Oh, cool. It was good. Yeah. All right. Let's go through the Heat magazine, the issue of Heat magazine that I've gotten a hold of. It is dated the 7th till the 13th of September. I got so close, Zach. Series 2 of The Office premiered on the 30th of September. So it's just in that like week, 2 weeks before The Office returned. So on the front cover, Posh and Beck's baby number 2. First, with loads of inside information. MTV Awards see all the best and worst dresses inside. Heat magazine.
Isn't it funny how that stuff is all like just like BuzzFeed now?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is. It is a great time capsule. This week's hottest celebrity news. I'll go through.
Is there anything in there that's going to restore my faith in humanity?
No, the opposite. It's far meaner. It's very mean-spirited, a lot of this stuff, than I was expecting. So the first, I've just put little tags on everything that I feel is vaguely related to the lore of Ricky Gervais and these XFM shows. There's a story of Zoe Ball got papped Tuesday, the 27th of August. Zoe Ball gets frisky. When you're a young mum, it's often hard to find time away from your kids and the old ball and chain. So when Zoe Ball got the chance for a night out on her own, she jumped at the chance to let her hair down. And it's just photos of her out with her mates.
I have noticed that. And I know that the UK has a totally different landscape for this, but I have noticed that similar publications these days, they make less definitive claims. You know, when the captions to the pitches now, whereas they used to maybe make up what they were doing, now they kind of... Even if they post an unflattering photo, they won't say they will post an unflattering photo knowing it's unflattering, but the caption will be like, such and such looking fierce in their gray workout gear. Like, the caption is technically a positive so that they can't get in trouble for it.
Well, yeah, that's not the case.
The photo is clearly unflattering.
So the big thing from the MTV Music Awards, which you might still remember, is that this was the year that Britney Spears gave Michael Jackson that Lifetime Achievement Award.
No, and, I do not remember this.
Okay.
My earliest kind of memories of award shows is, like, I think it was 2008, the Kanye Taylor Swift incident.
Oh, okay.
But you, so you, I don't go before that.
You mentioned the meanness of they're a bit more tactful now. So MTV outfits, the winners and losers. So Britney Spears, and we talked about last week about how nothing's changed in 20 years. How come someone as rich as Britney Spears can't afford a mirror?
Wow.
And then there's another story, sticking with the Britney Spears stuff. Britney surprising fags, booze, and sex confessions.
I imagine there's actually nothing in the article.
No, no.
That's
it's
a direct
just,
quote it,
they've
from her.
Paparazzi photos and
yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a few, so I'm sorry, I'm speeding through these. Also, here's the section, 100% unapproved, stars making fools of themselves. And they're just photos of these celebrity people going about their life. And here's a thing you don't see much anymore, Kate Lawler, the old upskirt photo.
Oh, wow.
Can you see that? And the comment is, the caption is, phew, Kate Lawler is glad she didn't go commando.
Without taking pictures of her getting out of the car.
Yes, it's a classic getting out of the car thing. Also, here's
I had no idea that was even a thing. That's outrageous.
Here's a photo of Neil Fox. Dr. Fox, the medical man.
Ah.
I can't wait till we get to the episode, Zach, where they get Neil Fox in the studio to ask him to give feedback on the Ricky Gervais show.
Is he a traditional radio man?
He's I would say, and I'm actually, I might be wrong, but he was like one of the judges on Pop Idol over there. So I would say an equivalent of sort of like a Kyle Sanderlands or that sort of thing. Just be the capital breakfast radio, real stalwart, like big name in traditional top 40 pop radio. So you can imagine what he thought of the Ricky Gervais show. Here's another little time capsule thing. There's lots of ads for ringtones. Get yourself a ringtone.
Oh, my goodness. That does take me back. You know, the kind of, what were they called? Polyphonic.
Oh, yeah.
Polyphonic ringtones.
Coming soon, polyphonic ringtones. And you can also get those logos that just come up on the screen.
It's funny how irrelevant ringtones are now, because no one ever has their phone on loud.
And if you do, it's just the old.
I think calling will become, you know, we're on a video call now. I think voice calls are just going to, they already are kind of defunct, aren't they? They're going to become more and more defunct.
Just about. Unless it's someone's birthday. That's the only time I ever actually call someone. Okay, here's what we've been waiting for.
He's found
radio
it.
Radio highlights.
Oh, yeah.
Our pick of the week's radio. So Saturday, the 7th of September, you've got Jonathan Ross on Radio 2. Jonathan and his sidekick Andy present the world's finest radio broadcast, 5 stars. What else have we got here?
Is that all it says?
Yep.
That's an easy review.
Yeah, I know. Stuart McConey's critical list on Radio 2, Radio 2, Radio 4. Oh, here we go. XFM, 1 p.m., Ricky Gervais. Comedy geniuses Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant bounce off each other in spectacular style while broadcasting genius Carl Pilkington interviews in the only way he knows how with grace and panache. 5 stars.
5-star review. There you go, from Heat Magazine.
Besides Jonathan Ross, the only radio show to get 5 stars. But broadcasting genius Carl Pilkington, that's surely tongue-in-cheek.
And it's so, does it open with comedy genius, Ricky Gervais, and then
comedy geniuses,
genius.
Yep. Ricky and Steve, and so broadcasting.
So Carl's not a comedy genius, he's a broadcasting genius. I wonder how they define the two.
And
because
also-
I Carl's a lot of things, and I'm the biggest fan of Carl around. He could not be defined as a broadcasting genius by any definition. That's really his weak point, the broadcasting side of it.
Yeah, which makes me think there's slightly a nudge-nudge, wink-wink about this.
Yeah, right.
Or...
It's funny, though, because the average reader wouldn't know that. They'd just think it was a great review.
Or it's possible that whoever wrote this didn't actually listen to the show and is just asked around the office. So there you go. So I think we can all agree that was worth spending $50.
So that was $50. I'm surprised that you found any references. And the fact that the reference was in a tiny type on one of the back pages, I'm impressed with the magnifying glass that you've gone through that with.
Oh, Zach, you would not believe the sigh of relief
that there was something.
That there was at least something. I might try again. I might try to find another issue.
I also respect the fact that you paid $50 for that magazine, and then the way that you're flipping through it on this call right now and you're bending the pages back, there's no respect to the cost of it, to the value, to the fact that it's traveled halfway around the world. You're throwing that thing around like it's in the waiting room of a doctor's surgery.
Which is where it will probably end up, because I don't know what to do with it now. Yeah, look, I don't care about the magazine. I care about the information inside, and I've got that. And I guess we'll move on with our lives now. Emails, carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com. We'll get to the air check next. I do want to ask if you could please, I'm talking to you, the listener now, can you just check in, if you listen to the show on Spotify, can you email us and just let us know that the show is still available? carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com. Because I did have an email about a week ago telling me that all Ricky Gervais content has been taken from Spotify, including our podcast. I haven't noticed any... It's definitely available in Australia, and I haven't really noticed any change in the numbers, in terms of download numbers. But if you wouldn't mind, particularly if you're in the UK, can you, and you listen on Spotify, if you could please just confirm by sending us a quick email that it is still there, it is still available. If you're not in the UK, just wherever you are in the world and you listen on Spotify, just let us know if there is a problem that we need to chase up.
Is it possible? Because I know Spotify really like exclusivity. Exclusivity? That's a big strategy in their podcasting. I wonder if all this Ricky Gervais stuff is getting taken down, are they preparing for a Ricky Gervais podcast to come out on Spotify? You know, and they're trying to get rid of, like, they're just trying to clear the plate a little bit, ready for this fine dish.
Move out. Well, if Spotify were aware of this podcast, even if it was aware of it to try to kill it, I'd take that as a win.
No, I wonder if they have some type of search functionality.
Yeah.
Where they search all different Ricky Gervais terms, like Pilky Boys.
Well, I put that in the tags when I upload each episode.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I put Ricky Gervais, I put XFM, I put all that stuff. So if you could do that, thank you very much. Also, we got an email from Ollie, just checking in to say he's enjoying the show. And I always like hearing about what their relationship with the XFM shows is. Ollie emails, I reckon I've gone through the shows and podcast about 20 and 30 times now. I used to listen on my paper round a few years ago and still listen now and again for a comfort listen. He also says, make sure you check out the Reddit r/RickyGervais. It's got about 30,000 mongs on the irregularly talk shite and make arbitrary XFM references. I like to imagine new Afterlife fans finding it and being quickly confused by the utter nonsense from a 20-year-old radio show with nothing to do with Ricky on there. All the best, Ollie. Ollie, totally agree. I am on that subreddit often, and a couple of the Facebook pages, all things Ricky, Steve, and Carl Dilkington, and XFM 104.9 is another good one. And Zach, I've told you about how I tried to sneakily promote. I'll just admit it. I was just saying when I spoke to Byron, just going like, hey guys, I spoke to someone who used to work with Carl, and the comments were savage. Because self-promotion is not encouraged on those platforms. But
that's the way sometimes. I'm not a part of any genuine... Oh, no, that's not true. I was going to say most of my Facebook groups that I'm involved with are ironic interests. I joined Andre Rieu the other day to see what he's up to. But I just remembered as I...
What is he up to?
Touring across the world. Lots of dates coming up because I thought COVID maybe had slowed him down. And he did have to cancel some stuff in the, you know, in the midst of last year, I guess, 2020. Because I was wondering, because I thought his audience would be quite older. I thought, wow, like they're really in the demographic that COVID is most dangerous to. But maybe he's touring around places that are all vaccinated now. I don't know the ins and outs of it. But yeah.
Okay, so cool.
Kicking on the King of Waltz or the King of Romance. Or I'm very fascinated by the whole subculture of how much old people seem to love Andre Rieu.
Oh, are you going to an old person's house and they've got at least six DVDs of his?
And my favorite thing is watching the clips and watching the people dancing in the stands.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
He does his live shows does have the most incredible replica of an old European castle on stage. It is genuinely spectacular. All right, let's Andre Rieu watch.
I did realize as I said that, though, I am a part of a lot of gardening and,
okay.
Vegetable growing groups. So, you know, they're not all ironic.
You're not a part of any Ricky Gervais XFM shitposting groups?
No, I'm a lot of Simpsons shitposting groups.
Okay. Are they really mean to each other in the comments?
No, it seems pretty uplifting.
I was always on the XFM shows, they're always talking about XFM listeners being all kinds of horrible and unfit for society type people. And I've always thought, that's a funny joke. But now delving into the online on these Facebook pages and Reddits, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, they might have been right. Because the first comment when I said, hey, I spoke to, if you guys are interested, he had some interesting things to say about Ricky and Steve and XFM at that time. The first comment was, fuck off.
Well, they're getting
the second comment
across.
Was, who let you in here? anyway.
Very aggressive.
Air check. Let's get onto it. Series 1, episode 16. The first break, little weather report from Ricky and a few tips on washing clothes. I had nothing to add to this one. It was a fairly short first break.
No, I had nothing either.
Yeah. Break 2, they've had an email warning them about talking about Adam Ant's mental health. And then they go into a great story about Carl's aunt dating a guy who looked like Ken Dodd. Second show in a row where they mention an old English comedian. And just so you know, I did research at this time. He died in 2017, so we can say whatever we want. It's been long enough.
Oh, is that long enough, is it? Is there a hard and fast rule?
Yeah, I think 3 years, yeah. Or at least, 4 years. At least long enough for one World Cup.
Okay. I did not know that was the secondary function of a World Cup. I imagine just like some comedians who want to do, they've got all this gear on, you know, some celebrity who's passed away and they're just in their calendar, they've circled the World Cup start date. Just like, I'm ready to do
and
this material.
We can start having fun as soon as they've lifted the trophy. Have you ever... I do like the little sort of behind-the-scenes insight that there was some, like, all-staff email going out to all the presenters about, hey, this thing is before the courts, don't comment on it, which is something that happens in radio. The thing that I mostly associate with, like, hey, be careful what you say, is when the Olympics are on, because it used to be so... They used to be so, so savage about... You can't say Olympics. You can't say London 2012. You can't say any. You have to say the games. You have to be super vague.
Our first commercial radio show was an Olympic show. It was for Rio in 2016. And because we were late at night, the joke was that it was the Rio breakfast show. So we did it as if it was going, as if people, we were broadcasting to Brisbane in Australia at 11 o'clock at night. But it was as if Brisbane was picking up this broadcast that was going to the early morning in Rio. So we'd do like Rio traffic updates and things like that.
Funny but, concept.
Thank you. The concept, what you have to do is you do stuff like the games over in Rio. instead of saying the Olympics.
Yeah, so you weren't allowed to say Olympics that whole time for your Rio Olympics.
No, see, that one we had, because I've had a number of them. That one, we actually had the rights, but then the rights you have are very specific. You're not allowed to, like, commentate or, like, the things that you broadcast. You can't broadcast events.
Yeah.
So we were like an official partner, I think the language was, a broadcasting partner, but we weren't the broadcaster. And so it was very detailed, but they said generally, you can say the word Olympics, but Olympics can't be in any of the segment names. It can't be in any of the promotion. Like, you can't be seen to be benefiting off the word Olympics.
Yeah. They must be very litigious. Oh, they must be very expensive, those broadcast rights.
Well, because those guys in that improv school in America, Improv Olympic, they had to change their name, which does kind of make sense that you can't use it in the name of a business. But they go by IO now, don't they?
Yeah, I think improv is going to be in the 2032 Brisbane Games. How good would that be?
At the rate we're going, it could be, because, you know, different things are being added every year.
Break three. I like Ricky's description of the Liverpool look. All happy and teeth and ears. They get onto pipe smoking. I did a quick Google. Steve's fear that pipe smoking is going to become extinct. Here's what I found. Pipe smoking has been dwindling in use since the 1960s, but is still favoured by a small percentage, approximately 1.5%, of smokers in the United States today, especially older men. Pipe smoking is still common in Sweden, where as many as one quarter of adult males smoke a pipe. 25% of adult males in Sweden. That's a lot. Bullshit. Any Swedish listeners, get in touch. CarlyPilkboysPod@gmail.com. Are you smoking a pipe right now?
The pipe is aesthetically very nice, isn't it? You know, there's a lot, you know.
Well, there's something quite, you know, you can ponder while smoking a pipe. You can't really...
There's no real equivalent in anything else. Like, a cigar seems quite celebratory, you know, like...
Yeah.
You're celebrating something.
Yeah.
But the pipe seems quite pondering. I don't know what a cigarette is.
Well, cigarette, like, there's...
Kind of party.
I don't know if it's just an Australian thing, but we say, oh, punch a durry. Like, you... Don't smoke cigarettes. Are like, do it quick, just to get your nicotine fix. But you don't exactly punch a pipe. You can't exactly like, oh, quick smoke outside before but I.
As we move into these times where we're moving away from smoking, which I think generally we are, at least in Australia, I wonder if we could replace the pipe with something that had an equal level of esteem.
I think you're talking about vape pens.
No, that's not the vibe I'm getting from vape pens.
Are there vape pipes? Like, just in the classic pipe shape?
I'm sure there would be.
All right. Something else to research. Ricky realizes he'll be dead in 2050, and it sounds like a genuine revelation.
Yeah, that was kind of a bit sad, wasn't it?
I don't want
to think about a day when I'll be dead.
I know. I do think about it, yeah. But like,
he had a little glance into the distance.
I even think about it. I don't think about it actively. It has crossed my mind with like very young relatives. I'm going like,
yeah.
Oh, by 2100,
you'll be around and I won't be. Yeah,
yeah. Ricky realizes he'll be dead, and then Steve asks if he'd be up for being cryogenically frozen, which reminded me, here's a slight tangent. It was a story in the news recently, which I just think is quite funny. The remains of wealthy people who paid huge sums of money to be cryogenically frozen in the hope of one day being resurrected have been stolen from a facility near Moscow in Russia, its owner has alleged. Daniel Medvedev, 41, says his ex-wife, Valeria Udalova, has seized the bodies during a raid on his facility and taken them to her own rival facility.
Wow. Wouldn't that be a story once you've been reanimated?
Well, where am I?
Well, guys, we've got a bit of a backstory here. You've changed hands a number of times.
My wife and I got a divorce. You got caught up in it. Custody of you frozen children, adults. That's what it is.
It will get complicated, wouldn't it?
It's a mess.
You're trusting, you know, you're trusting that the world's going to be a better place than when you left it.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Can we be confident in that?
All the considerations they would have made, the fact that they would get caught up in a custody dispute between rival facility owners probably would have been pretty low on the list of things that they thought about before they signed up to it.
No, but that's why you got to be in those contracts. You got to be future focused.
Yeah. If you guys get divorced, I want to go with Cryo Dad. And I'll see Cryo Mum on weekends and holidays. So that's the latest in cryogenics news in 2021. At 12 minutes into this episode, there is a landmark moment. It is when Ricky notices Carl has a round head, the first time he acknowledges it, which, Zach, this is your first time listening through to these episodes. That becomes Ricky's, like, his crutch. He's like, every time he talks about Carl, he talks about his round head. Whenever he goes, like, he later goes on to David Letterman and talks just about Carl head and about how he's got a, it's always about head like a fucking orange.
Interesting too is Carl, it's not a surprise to Carl.
Yeah.
He's had this pointed out before.
Yeah.
And so he said that he's, even his partner has described his head shape before.
Yeah. Break four, they come back to the idea of sending Carl up in the air strapped to balloons. Carl's gone off it. Carl thinks...
I just remembered the great moment in this where he says, you're going to have to fill me in a little bit because I was on the train. So I don't exactly remember what it was, but he's talking about originally we were only going to go up about a tree height. But what does he say about the chant?
Oh, they're going to go higher, higher, and I'll feel the pressure.
When everyone's chanting higher, higher, I'll feel the pressure. And they start going, who's this crowd? What are you envisioning? Some medieval square?
Higher.
It's the rule of the crowd.
It is quite sweet that what Carl is worried about is he won't want to disappoint people. So he will put he knows of himself that if it comes to it, he will put his personal safety aside for the sake of entertaining others.
It's funny. It made me laugh a lot.
Carl thinks Steve is better looking than the Chemical Brothers. Steve's story about getting called lanky by the old man on the tube when he forgot his phone. And find out that Carl likes karaoke, which is just a little insight. He likes karaoke, but he would never go on Stars in Their Eyes. Break five, White Van Carl. We hear about Carl's commerce class. He learned how to fill out a check, pay a bill, and how to trip round Kellogg's.
I imagine this. We had like a practical maths at school. You know, so you've got the math. You can pick to do the math that goes towards like a final mark. The GCSE, as it would be in the UK, I believe. We don't have that here, but our equivalent. Or you can do like a practical one. Is that what he was talking about? Like one that's kind of like mathematical life skills, which I think is a good idea.
I guess so. Yeah, I think so as well. I remember in school getting taught how to write a letter properly with the addresses and stuff, but there's so much like practical life stuff that we didn't learn. A commerce class would have been great.
We had a subject that was agricultural skills.
Wow.
This is going to sound like I grew up in... This was in suburbia in a big city, but it was quite a big land property. You know, like the school ground was quite big and we did have like... There was like there's chickens and sheep and stuff for agriculture, which was a actual, you know, went towards your grade. But there was another one called agricultural skills, where you'll learn how to ride a motorbike, you'll learn how to use a tractor and stuff. And it was a great idea because, you know, if you're 15 or 16, going into the workforce might be too soon for you, but you could learn some practical skills while at school, and maybe in a couple of years you're ready to go into the workforce. But so it's a great idea like that. But then when you're sitting in class and you're looking out the window and you start to realize, the school's just using these kids for free labor because they're just like doing up the gardens and stuff like that. You're seeing these kids in uniforms go past with wheelbarrows. And I'm like, I don't know.
All right, kids, about this. Today in ag class, we're going to clean the boys' toilets. What? Do you think that's where your love of plant life and gardening
came
from?
No, it didn't. I didn't like it then. I did do agriculture in high school, but I didn't like it then. But I am remembering a lot of that stuff now. So maybe it planted a seed. Pardon the pun.
We get Carl's tip for avoiding a mugging. Just act mental. That's a good tip.
I've heard that before. You know, the idea of kind of out energy them. You know, yeah. They're coming in with a lot of negative, scary energy.
Or you don't have to out energy them. Just make eye contact and start pissing your pants.
Yeah, that works. I kind of think though, don't as blink. I've gotten older, I just think it. I think like, don't. That nothing good comes from being a hero in those situations. Like, just resolve it in the least conflict possible, because you can get a new phone, you can get new shoes, but you know, it's hard if you get physically injured. That could be something that stays with you forever.
But Zach, what if you worked hard for your trainers?
No, I understand. I completely understand. I'm not saying it's a good situation. It's a bad situation to be in. But, you know, you just hear so many stories of people confronting and then it getting way worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, as he points out, there was no knife. I think as soon as you, there's the introduction of a weapon that can cause serious harm, that changes everything. But
so I was at Woolworths the other day, right? And I saw a guy trying to nick something. And he'd been caught by the staff. And the staff are just like casual workers. And the staff are trying to block him from leaving.
No,
I understand that you want to... I understand that you don't want people stealing. That's fine. But they were like... They realized that they couldn't hold the person back. But they're doing everything that they could. Like, they're standing in front of him and trying to... Because he wasn't admitting it. He was like, no, I don't have anything under my jacket. And they're like, we can clearly see you've got something under your jacket. I was thinking, I don't care. If I was an employee,
man, no,
I'd be like,
way.
It's not my fight. Like, these guys, this is a massive corporation. I'm working for, you know, just like everyday wage. I'm like, don't steal. I don't want you to steal.
Woolworths, who have famously got done for underpaying their staff on a massive scale. Unless your surname is Woolworths, go.
Yeah, I'm not going to put my body on the line for this company.
Yeah.
So I was just
that
thinking,
seems,
I was just
that
like,
seems
guys,
crazy
like,
to
just,
me.
Like, you know, let him go and then call the police and report a theft.
Yeah.
Not your fight.
Yeah. Imagine getting, like, attacked over some Cadbury Dairy Milk. Or, like, what can you even steal of any sort of significant value from a Woolworths? Don't do it, guys. Don't. If someone's stealing, CCTV cameras are really good nowadays.
Yeah.
So Carl tells a story of leaving. We get the thing about the $2 million in cash stolen from Heathrow Airport, and then Carl tells the story of leaving the Kellogg's tour, and everyone getting worried, which is exactly the plot from the episode of The Simpsons where Bart walks off during the tour of the box factory,
and they think he's been turned into a box.
And they think he's been turned into a box. So that is where the Carl and Bart Simpson crossover happens.
I was thinking during that, though, I was just like, oh, Carl, that poor teacher. I was like, oh, you need to tell someone that.
Yeah.
But I love the logic of like, well, I couldn't be, like, he couldn't see the floor in it. Well, I couldn't be any further late.
Yeah. I know.
So I'm just going to have to leave. But what do you, like, he never put himself in the teacher's shoes of like, what are they going to think?
Yeah. Being their guardian in that time. I had a teacher in high school who refused to go on. We were doing, like, it was my social studies teacher, and he refused to go on any sort of field trips or excursions because of that exact reason. I think he'd had a bad experience with a kid going missing. So I was like, why would I risk that? No, I'm not gonna. It seems terrifying to be responsible for 15 to 30 minors.
Yeah,
we had a Kellogg's factory.
I remember there's all sorts of machines. Lesson actually. Oh no, this was biology because we had a creek running through the school, and we were going down and we were doing like observations in the creek. And this was like early video cameras. I used to have this video camera that I could take to school and film Jackass style videos. That was most of the
yes.
And this kid found this rope swing, you know, like a swing tied to a branch, and he swung out over the river. But it was the creek bed was quite dry because we were in a drought at the time. And everyone, the whole class is watching and cheering him on as I filmed it. At its like pinnacle of the swing, it snaps. He lands back first on dry, exposed rock. Like, great footage for a Jackass film. everyone's, you know, he's fine. He's got a few scratches, but he finds the humor in it. Everyone's having a good laugh. The teacher's having a good laugh. We're walking back up to the class and the teacher kind of sidles up next to me and mentions in a very vulnerable way, if you could delete that, that would really help me. Because if that kind of gets out, it might cause some issues for me. So, like, if you wouldn't mind not posting that anywhere and deleting it, it would really be great.
And did you reply?
I did. I like really liked. I really like this guy, and so I said, "Sure, that's fine."
You didn't say, "All right, $50 is all it will take."
What I would have done in the future would have not posted it anywhere, but I still would have kept it. Mm. I think I legitimately deleted it. Mm. I think I would have kept it.
You're a good human.
To show people, because it was a funny clip. It was so pixelated those days as well. Like, it probably wouldn't have been very incriminating. You wouldn't have been able to really make out what it was.
They wrap up that break, the White Van Carl segment, with Carl telling how he got stuck in a little lake out the back of Cordon Bleu. And that's how he ended up losing his job, because he would not sacrifice his sneakers. These sneakers went through a lot.
They have.
These trainers, sorry. Break six is the summary of Winston Churchill. I don't really have anything on this. Churchill was coked up, apparently, and then it's confirmed. That's interesting. I learnt that from this show.
Yeah, you know, there's like lots of old stuff, isn't there, about drugs that were available over the counter in those days and in war times. Yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, you had to stay up late. I get it. You needed a lot of energy. Break seven, they follow up on the Winston Churchill stuff and get chatting about animals. Here's a radio thing that I noticed, Zach, from the... So, White Van Carl, that's a benchmark segment. Carl summing up Winston Churchill's life, another benchmark segment. But then the next three breaks, the rest of the show is just spin-off chat from those benchmarks. Like, there's no planning to it. The conversation just flows naturally. They happen upon the fables thing, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is just like, that's not something that you would ever be taught to do or encouraged to do or be endorsed to do. Is like, well, we've got these two benchmarks and then we're going to leave these next three breaks blank because we don't know what's going to happen, but we think we will find something.
I think that's what... I think they're planning, if I'm trying to backwards engineer it, is like they just have a couple of ideas. Because even when they come up on the show, they're like, are we going to do this now or will we do it later?
Yeah.
I don't think they've planned when they're going to do anything. I think it's just like, we'll do White Van Carl, we'll do the Winston Churchill thing, and then we'll see what else comes up.
Yeah. I would
like it. That'd be a fun way to put a show together.
Totally.
The way that it works... in my experience, is like very like you have a spreadsheet. Each little cell is a break. You got to say what the general idea of it is. You don't have to do anything, I guess, but you know that's how you're taught to do it. And they don't like it if it's too casual or too unthought out.
But it's also got to be balanced. The word balance comes up a lot, and the word clumping. Like, not too much of the set. So I would imagine a content director feedback on this show was like, oh, you had White Van Carl and then went straight into the Carl summing up Winston Churchill. That's a bit clumpy. That's two Carl-centric breaks, one after another. Why don't you break it up with a story from Steve? So yeah, all the radio shows I've been involved with, it's the run sheet and you can see the whole show and you're like, you see where all the talk breaks are and you plug them in. Whereas with these guys, they've got a list. They've just jotted down on the back of a serviette. Here's what we're going to do today. And then they go, all right, well, we're in this song. What should we talk about next?
I thought very interesting casual. From a radio point of view as well, at the end, I noticed when he was reading out all the emails, I was like, that's right. I remember when people can email our show now, but we're not broadcasting live. Email isn't really, actually, it's definitely not a medium that would be used by any radio show to get messages in quickly.
In real time. In no real chance. Time. Yeah.
But I do remember emailing Hamish and Andy, a famous duo in Australia, when I was in high school. And I remember tuning in to my radio and hearing them read it out, and it caused me great pleasure.
Wow, you got through. You sent through something.
Yeah, I was in like the last minute. You know, they were just... It's similar to how... Steve does it in this, but they did read it out
That's cool.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, that was like, I'm famous. I've been read out on the radio. And to speak to the power of that show at the time, people I know heard it and were like, hey, were you read out on Hamish and Andy? And I was like, yeah, that was me.
Not your voice, just an email. Yeah, they heard like mention Zach, of your name, Zach M. And that was enough.
I don't know if they said my last name or not. If, obviously, if they said my last name, then that would be pretty obvious. But it might have just been Zach and then something. And then people I know must have known that I was a fan. So maybe it triggered it for them.
How times have changed. I know. I mean, I was just talking with at work last night about it was only how long? 13, 14 years ago that radio shows were still, like comedy radio shows, were still putting out their own albums.
Yeah, that's true.
Of they were just collecting their air checks and I, putting them out as an album.
Same thing with Hamish and Andy. I bought their... They had an album.
Yeah, they had two. And they won an ARIA for it. Like, they won awards for recycling their radio bits.
That's I feel like this show, like, there's some sub-plot lines to this podcast. Like, the main one is reviewing the Ricky Gervais show. I think us coming to terms with being in our 30s... is like one of them,
and choosing to pursue a career in an irrelevant medium.
Yeah, that's another one. Secondary, if there's a lot going on just under the surface,
realizing we mistimed our existence.
If we could just be 10 years in the past or 10 years in the future, either one, we're just in this gulf.
Well, that's why we're doing this show. We're niche casting.
I like that.
We're finding our tribe.
And not as much that one.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Seth Godin, isn't it? Isn't that all about tribe, you know, building a tribe?
Yeah, that I just like marketing. It's a fancy way of saying, or it's a quick way of saying people who like similar things to you.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get
it. Landmark moment when they move on to Fables. I've marked that as a landmark moment because Fables do become a bit of a thing for Carl, that he doesn't really rate them. He doesn't think they have much value. And then later he writes his own Fables and thinks they're just as good.
I'd love to hear those because I thought this was strong. So I'd be looking forward to hearing those. Some people don't, you know, some people don't like, they're not visual thinkers, you know, and they don't like analogies. Because they're not one-to-one. Some people, it doesn't help them. The idea is to help illustrate a point. It doesn't help it for everyone, hey?
But interesting that Carl doesn't like fables or poetry, but he then does write his own fables and his own poetry. Yeah. I think it's just he doesn't understand why they're respected so much and that he thinks he could do it just as well. So he goes about trying to prove it. I always enjoy hearing Ricky's knowledge about animals. I just like it how I don't know, there's something I enjoy about it. That's all I have to say.
He's very into it, isn't he?
Yeah. And it's always just right there. He's always right there. That's Animals is his best stand-up show by far.
I love when he's talking about which animal doesn't have ears. Yeah. And Ricky's like, well, there's heaps of them. And Carl's like, no, animals. And he's like, well, you know, there's insects, there's single-celled organisms. No. Like, don't try to get too tricky with this. I'm talking about animals.
Yeah. And he says, do you mean mammals? But clearly he doesn't because he's already mentioned the snake. The rest of the show, they talk about fables a bit more. They talk about the fable about the hare and the lion, Carl's take on the scorpion and the bear fable. And he thought that the twist was going to be the scorpion turns around and says, I can swim, which I've noted as another T-shirt design idea is a scorpion with a pair of sunglasses. And it just says, I can swim.
That's funny.
Look, I'd value feedback if you've heard any of these T-shirt ideas, good or bad. Ricky Gervais. What's the email address?
CarlyPilkBoysPod@gmail.com.
They wrap up with some more animal facts. They've heard from Johnny Mango from losedcontrol.com. That website no longer exists. Can't find any trace of Johnny Mango online. That's a little plot line that I might investigate a little further. What happened to Johnny Mango? So that's the end of the show. What we learned, Carl's aunt once dated a guy who looked like Ken Dodd. Ricky noticed Carl's round head finally. Steve got called lanky by an old man on a train. Carl likes karaoke and nearly got mugged and lost a job over a pair of trainers. Winston Churchill was coked up. And pigs can orgasm for 30 minutes. It was a very educational episode, this one. Favorite bit, Zach?
Carl talking about getting cheered on by the crowd. The genuine concern in his voice.
Okay. My favorite bit is the Ken Dodd story. Nice to meet you, Ken. Next week, episode 18, which features a great story from Steve almost finding love on a train in classic Steve fashion. It's a classic Steve story. Next week on episode 18 of the Carly Pilk Boys podcast. You can contact us, carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com. Zach Mander is on TikTok and Instagram. David Ferrier Cartoons, I'm on Instagram. You can find me there. Check out my flipbooks. Rate and review the show. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, reviews are appreciated. Zach, we'll see you next week.
See you, Dave.